Good to see all of you here today. I'm glad that you chose to be with us today, because every Sunday morning you have that choice of whether or not you're going to end up in a church, or are you going to go golfing, or are you going to go to a nice breakfast, you're going to just stay at home and hang out. But I think, or I believe, that we all here made the right choice of coming to worship God, and that is what is pleasing to Him this morning. And about 2.5 months, if you're a registered voter and you're choosing to vote this year, you're going to have the chance to vote for the next president of the United States. And you're going to go into your voting booth. That's going to be after all the debates, all the speeches, all the dirt that's been drug up about each candidate, and all the campaigning and all that. And you're going to have to make a choice. Now, you're going to have the choice of Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton. Does anybody know who the third person is up here? Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson, yes. Gary Johnson, he is the libertarian candidate. So if you don't like the two bigger candidates, and Trump and Clinton, you always have the third choice with Johnson. But we're going to have to make, if you choose to vote that day, you're going to have to make a choice when you go into that booth. And nobody else can make that choice for you. It is your choice. I believe that choices are the only thing we can really call our own, the choices that we make. And does it seem like when we have a big choice to make, the famous picture comes out of the devil on one side and the angel on the other side, whispering in your ear, you know, do this, no, do this. But eventually it comes down that we are the ones responsible for our choices. In a couple weeks, I'm going to be having kids come into my classroom. And eventually throughout the year, they'll be misbehaving and so forth. Not that any of you ever did that while you were a student. But sometimes I hear this excuse. He made me laugh. He made me talk. He made me do something. No, they didn't. You have that choice. No one can make you do anything. The choice is always yours. What choices do we have? According to Henry Ward Beecher, God asks no man whether he will accept life. That is not the choice. You must take it. The only question is how. When you come out of the womb, that's not your choice. I mean, when you're born, that is not really your choice. But the choice is you can't go back up in. So you are given this life. Our choice is how do we take this life that God has given us. And basically, we know that we control how we respond to situations. Those are the choices that we make. And the beautiful thing is, God did not leave us without guidelines of how we should respond. The Bible basically is God's instructions for us of how we should respond to certain situations. Our choice, again, is, do we respond according to how God wants us to respond, or do we respond in some other manner? The first type of choice we're going to look at, and we're going to look at three different scenarios, is no one knows but you and God. What type of choice do you make when no one knows but you and God? Jackson Brown said, our character is what we do when we think no one is looking. Everyone in here probably has faced a situation where you could get away with something and no one would know it. Can you think of a time in your life where you could get away with something and no one would ever know it was you? How do we react during those times? Also, there are times when we have a chance to do good, but no one will thank us for it. No one will ever know. How do we react in those situations also? So how do we react when we have a chance to do something maybe we shouldn't and we could get away with it? How do we react when we have a chance to help someone or do something good and no one would know about it? Do we make that choice? God sees all, good or bad. You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. So when we do something wrong, God sees it. Even if no one else on earth does, God still sees it. But God also sees the good that we do. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And isn't that our goal as Christians? Our goal as Christians is to please our Heavenly Father. It's nice to get a good job down here or a thank you from people. But ultimately, as Christians, we want to please our Heavenly Father. So even if no one else is going to thank us for doing something that is good, remember, our Heavenly Father will reward us for that action. So leaving this section, the question for all of us: does God's knowledge of our actions affect our choices? Knowing that God sees all, does that affect the choices that we make? The second type of choice is when God calls upon you to take action. Have you ever felt God saying, go up and tell your story to that person? Go up and share your faith. Or that person there, they need like a shoulder to cry on right now, or they need some comforting. How do we react during those times? For this, we're going to look at Moses and God asking Moses to go talk to the Pharaoh. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Have we ever felt like we're not worthy to do God's will? You know, God, I really can't tell anybody about my life because, you know, I have all these skeletons in my closet. God, I really can't go and say, hey, you might not want to do that to someone else because I got a load of sins on my own. That's how Moses was feeling. God, you really want to send me to the Pharaoh? Of all people, you want to send me? Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Moses there was making an excuse. Lord, I can't talk very well. Do we ever find ourselves making excuses for not doing what God wants us to do? God, I'm not very good at that. I don't know my Bible real well, so I probably cannot go up and share anything about the faith. I don't know the Bible that well. Or God, I'm just not comfortable in social situations, or whatever excuses we make. Do those excuses, just like Moses, sort of get in our way of doing God's will? Yeah. Would you have talked to the Pharaoh? You know, anytime I read the Bible, I try to put myself in the character's places and say, okay, would I have built the ark? How many here would have built the ark? Out of all honesty, God said, build an ark. How many of you would have done it? I mean, probably not a lot. You know, in fact, we had none. So, but you know, you put yourself in those situations and you say, how would I have reacted? You know, if I'm, you know, I'm Peter on that night, I'm warming myself, would I have denied Jesus? Who knows what would have happened to me if I, you know, Would we have denied Jesus, just like Peter said? You try to put yourself in those stories. So, would you have talked to the Pharaoh? Keeping in mind, the Pharaoh was the most powerful man in the world and probably could have had you killed, like, real quick. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." So Aaron and Moses did not back down. The Pharaoh said, "No, you're not taking them." They could have quit and walked away. They didn't. They kept challenging the Pharaoh because of their great faith in God. To end this section, do our thoughts and fears prohibit God's plan for us? Think back on your life. How many times have we let God's will not be done because it was uncomfortable for us or it didn't fit our schedule? You know, Moses could have said, "I'm not going to go talk to the Pharaoh. That is uncomfortable for me. I could be killed. Or, God, I'm not going to the Pharaoh. I got these sheep to take care of. I'm married. My wife's going to get on me about it. I'm not going to go talk to the Pharaoh." How many times have we let situations that God wants us to act go by because we're nervous or we don't have the time? Our last type of choice, our responses to tragedies and challenges. People want to see how others react to situations. And especially if they know you're a Christian, they want to see how you react. And people will sort of judge our level of faith by how we react. And if you just think about it, we've had a really bad 2015, 2016 with police and civilian relations going on. I mean, it has been bad in our country with that. Is that challenging our faith? The terrorist attack, they were getting cranked up there, you know, for a while. Do those challenge our faith? Morality issues. We see all these different things that really are going against our teachings now becoming acceptable in society. And probably all families at one point or another get some type of bad health news. How do we respond to these challenges and tragedies? I picked, these are a few passages, but there's actually two different stories going on in these passages. And this is how one man and how one lady dealt with a tragedy and a challenge that occurred in their life. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. Our response shows others our level of faith. Here is a synagogue leader kneeling before Jesus. Was Jesus very popular in the synagogue? No. Not the most popular person. Pharisees didn't like him. And here is this guy who is a synagogue leader kneeling before Jesus because he believed that Jesus could help his daughter. he might have lost his position in the synagogue by showing that act of faith, but he did not care. Does our faith lead us to prayer? When something happens bad in our life, does our faith lead us to prayer? Is that our first response? The sick woman believed if she could just touch Jesus' robe, she would be healed. How strong is our faith in the healing power of God? If you need your faith strengthened, I would suggest going to visit Marion Shea. Visited with her last night, and if you know, Marion's been on a list for a long time to get a kidney. And it happened this week, and she had her operation, I believe, on Tuesday. But her spirits are so high, and it was just very uplifting to go into her room and see her in such good spirits and just in awe of what God did for her this week. And she said one of the neatest things was, or scariest, neatest/scariest, was she got to see them take the kidney off of the helicopter in like a little cooler. And she knew that that kidney was going to be put into her in a few hours, and her life would hopefully get back to somewhat of normalcy. But if you need an uplift, you know, Marion is a great example of that. And also, they happened to be in the same hospital, so we went to see Gerald. Dina, she is so uplifting also. They've had a long struggle, her and Gerald, and Gerald's not doing very well, but Dina just keeps that smile going. And she has such great faith. So if you need an uplifting of your faith, maybe take a trip to Hershey Medical Center or when they come back and see them, because that really helped, I know, Don and I last night when we went to visit. To start to wrap up, what can we do so our lives are an example for others? The first thing is, pray that when we are tempted, God gives us the strength to resist. You remember, you got the devil and the angel on your shoulder. Pray that you listen to the angel and not the devil. And Jesus knew that this was going to happen for us. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Jesus told his disciples that that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's saying the same thing to us. Pray that you do not fall into temptation. Second thing we can do is allow God's plan for us to be fulfilled. If you were in Sunday school this morning, Ray, I never remember his last name. Vanderlyn talked about making space in our life or in our heart for God. And are we making space in our life for God to allow his will for us to be done? "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." God is equipping us to do his will. He's not just leaving us out there. He's giving us the gifts that we need. He's giving us the knowledge that we need. He's going to be with us to allow his will to be fulfilled. The choice we have to make is, are we going to let him work through us? And finally, trust in God's constant presence and help. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." So during times of temptation, during tragedy, and challenges, God is not leaving us. He is with us. He is equipping us. It's said in the Bible, God will not give us more than we can handle. He is with us. He wants us to trust in him. Are we going to allow that to happen? To end today, choices. As I said in the beginning, Those are the only thing that we can really call our own. May we pray each day that our choices please God and fulfill His will for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for the opportunity to worship You this morning. We thank You, Lord, that we do have the opportunity to make choices in our life, that You have given us the great gift of free will. We pray, Lord, that when we do make choices, that they are according to Your will. Help us, Lord, to stand firm against temptation, to be humble enough and to have a strong faith, to turn our lives over to You and allow Your will for us to be fulfilled. And please help us, Lord, to trust in You that You will never leave us or abandon us. And may that trust help Your will for us to be done each day. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, it's our tradition, if anybody has a need that they would like to present to the church, they can come up at this time. Or if you would like to become a member of our church or a member of God's family and be baptized, you can also do that at this time. The water is warm and ready to go. So if you have a need, please come forward as we sing.